This is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Have you cut back on salt because it's bad for you? Would it surprise you to learn that we need more salt in the diet, not less? Also, if you read food labels for their fat, carbs, sugar, or gluten content, you're in for a shocker. My duo of due diligence partner, Kim Barnewen, joins me to discuss these topics and more. Chew on This starts now.
It's time for Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Barnewen.
Hey, welcome to the show. We begin by chewing on labels and the FDA. In case you don't know, FDA stands for Fooling Dieters Again. Many people are trying to get healthier, and they're relying on these food labels. Well, if you're watching calories, grams of fat, carbs, and protein, this may surprise you. The FDA allows a 20% margin of error on all food labels, and some companies are taking advantage of this rule. Quaker Breakfast Bars they used to have 150 calories listed. Now, with no change in their size or nutrition content, they list 120 calories. Now, how does 30-calorie discrepancy make a difference? If you unknowingly ate 30 extra calories a day for a year, you would gain 3 pounds of body fat, and that's just on your breakfast bars. Now, Kim, in your books, you've put on boxing gloves against the FDA, and you've also exposed food label improprieties. What's your take on this little deceitful tidbit?
Well, this doesn't really surprise me all that much, although I am very disappointed. The serving sizes are unbelievably misleading, and I was very surprised to hear this, but food manufacturers try to deceive consumers purposely by saying that there's less calories and less sugar. That's their ultimate goal. So they reduce the size, the serving size of the product you're eating. But generally, you'd have to eat like a quarter of a cookie or something to actually get the nutritional information that they're giving you. So it is, once again, another misleading trick that these manufacturers are pulling on us.
It's great. Here's the scary part, Kim. The testing conducted by independent labs concluded this 20% margin of error they talk about is always over the amount listed, never under. So think about what that means to diabetics. They could actually be consuming 20% more sugar than they're led to believe. So that's, I think, where that becomes an issue.
Right. And food labels are one of those things that you and I have talked about so much. And it's such an important thing because if you don't know enough to say, okay, well, I need to really dig into this and read, you know, between the lines, and I don't really understand what's going on. People really take it at face value. So it's important to try to educate people to understand what these food labels really mean. And it's unfortunate that food manufacturers can't be a little more truthful in their labeling.
Exactly. One thing that we've talked about before, it makes no sense to me. The FDA is our Food and Drug Administration. Why on earth, Kim, is an organization that's regulating drugs like toenail fungicide also in charge of governing our eggs and oatmeal? To me, Kim, that's kind of like the American Dental Association inspecting and regulating hair salons.
That's the perfect analogy. It doesn't make any sense. Absolutely. And you're right. It's two different things, and they shouldn't be related in any way.
Yeah, I don't get why they don't have a separate administration that's solely focusing on food, not mixing in with the drug agencies. It just makes no sense.
Right. And, you know, the thing that, you know, one of the things that we've talked about with the labeling in the past is, you know, the whole natural flavors and what that means and fat-free and, you know, organic. And, you know, it's such a deceptive packaging that creates, you know, confusion because people think, oh, well, look, there's something on the front label that says, you know, there's natural flavors in here. Well, oh, well, that's probably healthy and I can eat it and give it to my kids. But when you dig into it and find out what those natural flavors mean, you know, it's a whole lot worse.
Yeah, not just natural flavors. I love when I see on the front, it says 100% all natural fruit juice, and that's on the cover. Flip it over and you read the small print and it says contains 10% real fruit juice. Now, they get away with this, Kim, because that small amount of juice that's in the bottle is 100% real, all-natural fruit juice. But it's a little deceiving because we believe the whole thing is just fresh juice.
Exactly. And it's such a small amount of the fresh juice. But they can get away with so much with this labeling that it's really sad.
Yeah, so I guess the takeaway is, folks, when you look at food label accuracy, just assume that there's 20% more salt, more sugar, fat, calories than the label indicates, and I guess plan accordingly, because if they're allowed that leeway, they're always going to use it in the opposite direction. And, you know, we can't talk about deceptive food labeling without mentioning the sneaky way they hide chemicals. Now, Kim, you were one of the first authors to expose the health dangers of aspartame. Kudos, mission accomplished. You know what? You helped a lot of people avoid that artificial sweetener. However, some companies have outsmarted consumers, Kim, and they're actually calling aspartame different names. They use amino sweet. Sounds so innocent, doesn't it? Amino sweet. Oh, how cute.
Right.
Phenylalanine. I don't know what that is. I'll just take it. Or they just use the initials APM. So people don't know that. How can the average person keep up with this trickery?
Right, exactly. And it's so hard. It's anything from MSG to the artificial sweeteners. And, you know, and something that I've always told people is, if you don't understand what something is, you can't pronounce it, you've never heard of it before, either look it up or avoid it altogether, because there's so many things that they can call. I mean, I was just looking at the other names of MSG, and there's a list of like 40 other things that have MSG in it or called by another name. And that's so confusing, because people can say, well, there's no MSG in here, but actually it is. It's just called something else.
Utilized yeast, that's one. And one I like is, right, I've seen textured protein. Hey, that doesn't sound so bad. I wouldn't know that was MSG. Or sometimes you'll just
Absolutely.
See the word gelatin. The word gelatin. Hey, that doesn't sound like MSG, but that's actually how they hide it. So, yeah, that is true. A big one also is gluten. You know, a lot out there we talk about is following the gluten-free diet. Some labels hide that they contain gluten by using the words, ready? Dextrin, durum, triticale or kamut, which are all derivatives of wheat. And also sometimes you'll see brewer's yeast in the ingredient and not realize that's another form of gluten. So labels are really deceptive, and people just need to be, you know, get more educated on that.
Definitely.
And, you know, you and I shared, and you mentioned a little bit in the beginning, we have a rule of thumb, and we've said it many times, and I'll start it, you finish it. If you can't pronounce it, share the second part.
Don't eat it or drink it.
Yeah, there you go. You know, if you see, let's say, Kim, you look on there, says, oh, this is like organic, fresh, and you flip it over and you see phenylhalopropethylamidamide, probably not a wholesome natural ingredient.
No.
I've never seen that from nature.
Right, exactly. That's not growing on a tree that I can pick in my garden.
No, you know, and it's same for nutritional products. I've been preaching that if you have a nutritional vitamin or herbal product and you can't recognize this big, long chemical name on the label, don't put it in your mouth. That's not natural. You look for natural fruit names and herbs that you can recognize. And, you know, we can't close out our discussion on labels without mentioning the huge deceptive practice you mentioned a little bit in the beginning, but we want to touch on it. Serving size. I have a couple examples that's going to make your head roll. Ready, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Pop-Tarts. Now, moms will see this on the label, that a serving size of Pop-Tart is 200 calories, and they will assume that that goes for each pack. However, each individual wrap package, Kim, has 400 calories because they contain two Pop-Tarts. So,
you're going to eat both because it's in that little package. So you think you're only getting that only one serving size, but that's not the case.
Exactly. Another one was 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew. So it shows, Kim, 110 calories per serving. Doesn't seem like that's not a lot. Well, those 110 calories only pertain to 8 ounces of that 20-ounce bottle. So there's actually 2.5 servings in each 20-ounce bottle of Mountain Dew. So you're consuming 290 calories. See how deceptive that is?
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, I saw a popular sausage company, Kim. It lists on the box 170 calories per serving. You flip it over on the label, it shows, ready? A serving is half a link of sausage. Who eats half a sausage for breakfast?
Yeah, I'll just have one sausage, and we're going to split that. Thank you. Yeah. No, that doesn't work very well in real life.
So labels can be deceiving. I guess the key is to, like I said, be better informed consumer. Don't rely on what you read on the label. But keep in mind this. This is something Kim and I have always said. If you eat a whole food plant-based diet, you don't have to count calories, fats, or carbs. You don't have to read the label. No one has ever gotten obese or developed heart issues from eating too much broccoli.
Yep, that's right. It's exactly right. Just keep it simple. Keep it so you recognize it. It's you know, in the natural state that it, you know, came into the on the planet in. And, yeah, stick to what you know.
Exactly. All right, so our next topic to chew on is a shocker and really goes against what doctors have been telling their patients for decades. We've been told about the health risks associated with too much salt in the diet. In fact, if you have high blood pressure, the very first thing your doctor is going to tell you is to go on a low-sodium diet. Salt's been linked to everything, Kim, from obesity, cardiovascular disease. Well, now research shows we need more salt, not less, in our diet to prevent heart disease. Researchers at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine found heart patients put on a low-salt diet had a higher incidence of heart disease. Another study by the Journal of the American Medical Association showed people with the lowest salt intake had the highest rate of death from heart disease. That's right. I'll say it again. Eating less salt increases the risk of cardiovascular disease. Wow, Kim, here we go again. We're told to zig and then we're told to zag.
Yeah, this one surprised me a lot, I have to say. And it really made me, you know, made me look into this, and I was so surprised to find out how sugar and, you know, high fructose corn syrup and fructose affects blood sugar or blood pressure so much more than we thought previously, and possibly more than salt. That was really surprising.
Yeah, that was at University of Colorado. It showed drinking 2.5 cans of soda per day increases your risk of hypertension by at least 30%. And the average person consumes 150 pounds of sugar per year. But for many Americans, 50% of that, Kim, comes from soda with high fructose corn syrup. And you and I really pretty much shared how soda is public enemy number one. The quickest way, I'll tell you, if patients say, how do I lose weight? First thing I say, get off soda. You'd be surprised. Sometimes a pound a day if they're soda drinkers, because the average person that's a soda drinker drinks five a day.
Oh, yeah, and you go into any restaurant and you can see the size of the drinks are just getting huge and ginormous, and they think, oh, that's so big, I'm never going to drink all that. Well, they do, and it's usually so much more than, you know, just a small little average size, you know, can of soda nowadays. And they say that just drinking 24 ounces of soda has been shown to increase blood pressure, the systolic and diastolic blood pressure. So that's just 24 ounces of soda, but people drink so much more than that, like you were saying. So it's definitely a big problem now, not just the salt, but now we're finding more about sugar, how it's harmful to you.
Yeah, and the high fructose corn syrup, that actually creates an addiction in the brain. It makes you crave more soda. So when I say the average person has five, I mean, I've seen people that tell me they have 12 a day. I mean, they wake up in the morning and they pop a Coke, they pop a Pepsi, right first thing.
Yeah, it's not surprising at all.
It's crazy. So an alternative to soda for you folks that love your soda, love that fizzle, you can get some seltzer water and add pieces of fruit. If you love Coke, an alternative, add some prune juice and a little xylitol. That's a natural, no-calorie sweetener. If you love Sprite, an alternative would be add lime to your seltzer water. Possibilities are endless, right? Kim, have you ever tried seltzer water with some fruit?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's, you know, there's other ways that you can get that. You know, people say they just like that fizzy, bubbly sensation, but there's lots of other things that you can use instead. And like you said, you know, putting fresh fruit in your drink, the seltzer water, it's so much better than just grabbing a soda off the shelf. So definitely look for other alternatives.
Yeah, and now they've got these, items that you can buy that actually pushes bubble into the water, which is great, you know, makes it carbonated. Because, you know, some people, I like carbonated water. So it just, I have some right here. It clears my throat when I'm on the air. But you don't need to have all that fructose corn syrup, the coloring, the artificial stuff in there. There's no need for that. So you can still go with that natural. I squeeze some blueberries in there. And I'll tell you, it's like a blueberry soda. It's delicious and it's fresh. No sugar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It tastes so much better. And then when you go for you drink soda after and you realize there's so much more sugar and it just tastes different. So you can train your taste buds to go back to not having such an overpowering, you know, sweet syrupy taste. And you actually can taste food better again when you're not overloading it with so much sugar and that syrup.
Great. Now, we dove into sugar, you know, from the salt. So we've concluded sugar has actually been shown to increase hypertension more than salt. Let's get back to the salt. I'll share my thoughts on that. The human body is made of 70% water. What kind of water, Kim? Salt water.
Oh, yeah, salt water, right.
So when we sweat, we lose our salt content. So it seems to me pretty common sense that there would be a need to replenish the salt, which is why sports drinks like Gatorade contain sodium. However, if you're inactive and you're not sweating, you are retaining your salt, and you need to be careful with your salt consumption. So I want to stress that, because in the beginning it sounds like, oh, Friedman says just salt, salt, salt. It's good for you. There's that exception, you know, and we are salt water. That's pretty much what we're made out of. And if you're losing that salt water, we need more salt. And you get it from the diet. There's not a lot of need to add it, but I do understand that study. It makes sense when you look at how we're made.
Right, and you know, a lot of times if you feel a little, I know, women tend to feel a little, you know, puffy sometimes. Well, it's usually, I feel like if I'm not drinking enough water, or if I, you know, I don't drink sports drinks that often, but I just think that it's your body just telling you, you know, maybe you need to, you've been consuming too much salt products. You're not sort of cleansing your body out. Drink more water, you know, get, like you said, you need to either sweat it out. You need to relieve it in some way. So it's important to kind of keep the balance going in your body.
Exactly. So if you're at a computer and, you know, you're eating your chips and you have all these, you know, frozen foods, so much sodium in there, you need to cut back. But if you're actually running and sweating and you're cleaning out your attic and you're sweating, or you go to a spa and you're sweating, hey, you might need a little bit more salt. So I can kind of relate to that. So it's interesting because, you know, we've always heard no salt, no salt, no salt. So these studies are out there, Kim. There's no denying that they're showing that a lack of salt can lead to higher instance of that. So if you need more salt in your diet, it's because you're sweating. So don't be afraid of it. It's what we're made out of. It's who we are. We are salt water beings. When we cry, our tears are salty. We are salt water.
Makes sense.
You know what, interesting, Kim? You can actually, if you took the water out of your body, put it into an aquarium, it would sustain sea life. We are pretty much exactly like we are in ocean water. So ocean water is very salty, and it's almost, I think it's like 98% similar. So fish could actually live in the water within us. We are aquariums. And that's
that
why
is
I'm a,
really cool.
I'm a big advocate of seaweed. I like sea vegetables because the nutrients from there, pretty much our cells recognize it. So it's actually what we are. So I'm a big advocate of eating seaweed and kelp and, you know, our supplements that have seaweed in it, just because our body recognizes it. It's what we are. You take nutrients from the ground, the dirt, the rocks. Our body says, what's that? That's a rock. That's not what we're made out of. So we are salt water and beings. So definitely, you know, don't be so afraid of salt if you're out there sweating and you're working out. So it was an interesting study. So fantastic. Well, that includes another edition of Chew On This. Of course, we are your dynamic duo of due diligence here to help you digest the latest health headlines. If you see a feature you want us to cover, you can email us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. You can order Kim's Skinny Bitch series of books at amazon.com. And be sure to follow her on Twitter at Skinny Bitch. And of course, for my daily health tweets, you can follow me at Dr. David Friedman. You can stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Until next time, stay well.